Welcome to It's Lainey, the show where I'm here and so are you. That's the only thing that defines the show. If a tree falls in the forest and no one is there to hear it, does it make a sound? If you do not listen to this episode, does it exist? No, it is but a figment of my imagination. Lainey, Lainey, that's me. This week, we're going to get into it, baby. We're going to talk about November. That is the month that it is. And if you're in the future, it's not November, whatever. But I'm talking about stuff that we're thankful for. So let's really chat about it. I'm talking about period things. I don't know why. I just got into it. You know, I do know why. It's because it's happening to my body. So fucking deal with it, dudes. just go with it. Oh, man. I am addressing, of course, the motherfucking question. We're getting real cryptic and futuristic on this one. I'm going to give you some hard opinions on some very complex universes. Let me tell you that. And our sponsor this week is Riverdance. Have you ever been to Riverdance? Go to fucking Riverdance, dude. You wear some shoes made of wood. It'll be good for you. Stay humble. Stay humble, dude. All right. Well, let's do the show. Woohoo! Me, you guys. All right. It's November. You know it's November. It's been November. It's still November. Also, if you're listening to this in the future, it's not November. It's whatever month you want it to be. November is an emotional state. And what I want you to know is that you're there with me and I'm here with you. And I know that you're out there and you're sitting on your couch or you're standing in your kitchen or you're at your orgy, whatever the fuck you do. I don't know what you do. And you know what you're doing. Your eyes lit up because you heard my voice and I'm here to make your day fun, I think, or ruin it. Who knows? It could go either way. Okay. Well, all right. Well, I was thinking about what we're going to talk about this week. And since it is November, well, here's the thing. Have I mentioned yoga already, Aaron? Okay. I'm sure. Yeah, I've mentioned everything. All right. Well, here, I'll just give you an update on what I've been doing so far. I've been knitting, I've been staying inside, and I've been meeting nobody. So that's what I've been up to, which is classic Lainey. I don't know. The older I get, though, the more that's kind of an issue. But I'm working on it. I started taking yoga classes, and I went 3 days in a row a week ago. And I have to tell you, I am the queen of meditation. Now, I probably have already mentioned this because it was a pretty big deal. But so I'm going to go back. But basically, I'm the buffest Olympian that you've ever met. Yeah, I've been taking yoga. I've been doing yoga. I've been being yoga. I've been absorbing yoga. And now I'm teaching yoga. I went 3 days in a row. And you know what? I am an expert. I am fully certified and I am able to teach you how to balance a teacup on your buttocks. And that is the extent of what I can do. So I'm going to keep going to yoga. I don't know what's going to happen, but I just want you to know I was very proud of myself. And if a slob like me can do it, then you can probably do it too. Although I will say you have to be okay. Man, I can't do it this week because I already talked about this, but I could. Well, maybe now I'm going to have to. I shouldn't pre-qualify things. Listen, my Ritalin is worn off. But the thing about yoga is that this is a big step for me because number one, I'm exercising, which is important for me because it helps with my anxiety. Number two, I'm getting out of the house, which is important for me because it helps with my anxiety. And number three, one time I went to a yoga class when I was home from a summer break on college, and I did three sun salutations, and then I passed out and I shit myself. So it's a big, I know, and I should have, see, now these are episodes are going to go back to back, and that is not helpful. But here's the thing. My family has some sort of blood circulation issue. I don't know what it is. I ate that morning. It's not like I didn't eat, but it's a lot of up and down. You go upside down, and then you go right side up really quickly, so all the blood drains out of your head. And I was there with my friend, and so we were going upside down and right side up, and because I'm competitive, I would never not do it. I would never stand there for a second and gain composure, which I have learned now. Now, if I'm feeling a little difficult, I'll do the modified one or go into like a stretch and be like, oh, I'm accepting my body. Because also that's the thing. If you just do it confidently, especially in yoga, it's like, I'm listening. They call it shit like, listen to your body. And you're like, oh my God, my body says Fritos. My body says two orgasms, then nap time. Yes. My body says watch 30 Rock all day, which I have been rewatching again. And I got to tell you, Liz Lemon, that's my dude. Okay. Yeah, so I did three sun salutations. I passed out and then I shit myself. But what happened? I was partway through the class and then I, like I said, I'm competitive, so I wouldn't not do the moves, but I was getting lightheaded. And so I guess this is the only time in my life I've ever passed out. I just woke up on the ground and I clearly didn't know what had happened. Later, my friend who was at the yoga class with me told me that I started kind of swaying, like I was still standing up. And I remember I got tunnel vision and I couldn't hear anything. Like my ears were, I couldn't hear anything. They were pounding or whatever. But she told me that people were telling me like, hey, sit down. Are you okay? And like, hey, you need to lay down, or like, hey, just take a break. And the whole time I couldn't see or hear anything. I was still standing. And apparently I was kind of swaying back and forth saying, no, I'm fine. Leave me alone. Which honestly, that's a baller move. But here's what happened. So I passed out. I woke up. I was at the YMCA. I was like, how old was I? 18, 19, something like that. I was home on summer break. So my parents came to pick me up because they were like, they weren't far away, whatever. For some reason, both of them came, which I guess maybe they were concerned about their daughter. That's makes sense. And I got in the car and we're driving home and my mom is like, what is that smell? And she keeps asking about it. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And my stepdad is like, Cindy, leave her alone. And then I realized that I shit my pants and I am now sitting in it. And I did not realize it before because I shit my pants when I passed out. But so much was happening that I had no idea because my body wasn't feeling what was happening to it. So now I'm in a Jeep sitting in my own shit just trying to get over vinyasa flow. So I'm back in yoga and and I have not shit myself yet. And I'm sorry that there has been so much talking about this, so I will move on. But that is a very important story in my development because I want you to know if you go upside down and then right side up really quickly, that could happen to you. So you need to listen to your body. It's not just a little placating phrase that they say. You actually need to do it because otherwise you could be sitting in the middle of a core power yoga in a puddle of your own feces. Who knows? Then your cute workout pants don't even mean anything. But to be fair, I was at the YMCA, so I fit right in. All right, well, it is Thanksgiving, so the next thing I was thinking about, I guess we're gonna eat potatoes and corn and hang out and think about what we're thankful for. So I guess this is a good opportunity to think about what I'm thankful for. I jotted a few notes down. Number one, thanks underwear. And you guys, I was about to say I'm sorry for making you listen to this, but I'm not, because this is wonderful and they don't, I'm not sponsored by them, but it's the, Aaron, do you know what Thinks are? The period underwear? Have you heard of them? See, that's the thing. You made a face like that is a grotesque nightmare of which I wish I had never heard, which is the issue to me because here's the thing. Are you nodding your head to agree with me? I didn't want to mischaracterize your statements your silent head movements. And to be fair, I haven't really cared about mischaracterizing your statements in the past, nor anyone else's. So, honestly, I mischaracterize my own statements constantly. What did I just say? I don't know, something about Hitler? Who knows? I shouldn't have been talking that shit. You know what I mean? Don't listen to me. What am I talking about? Do listen to me every week on It's Lainey. Give me a 5-star review or I will play poker with your mother and get her wedding ring. And then your dad won't be married to her anymore and I'll marry him. And now I'm your mom, bitch. Take that. I won your dad's dick in a poker game. Yum, yum, yum. Okay, well, I am fun. All right. So Thinks underwear is the period-proof underwear, and you know what? There is a stigma surrounding talking about anything that deals with female hygiene, which I guess makes sense because you go out in public talking about your underwear all the time. But here's what I will say. I am a 28-year-old woman. There are a lot of different options for the way that you deal with your period. And when this one happened, I was like, hallelujah, I think I'm a human being finally, because none of the other ones felt like I was a human being. Because here's what it is. There's some sort of super absorbent core and then the rest of it is like regular underwear, but like it pulls it in and it like locks it in and then it can hold like up to 2 tampons worth of your life. And so basically, and they come in a bunch of different kinds. So you can get like high-waisted ones. They have a thong pair, which is like the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Who wears a thong when they're coming off their period. And also, who wears a thong? I would encourage you to not do it unless it looks really, really good on you. But like people who walk around just wearing thongs, why would you ever do that? Just don't wear underwear, which is what I do. So, and that's just because I need to do laundry, but it's also because I'm super hot and carefree and a young gal who's out on the town. You know what I mean? Okay, so it basically, you know, locks it into the super absorbent core. It has antimicrobial layers of fabric that kind of are moisture wicking. They stay dry, and then you can wash and reuse them, which people get, of course, real upset about. But so up until now, the options are, for the most part, I don't know what other people are doing, but for the most part, tampons, pads, diva cups. Aaron, do you know what a diva cup is? Man, sometimes, okay, so you said no. Sometimes you surprise me because you're kind of a hippie, and sometimes the stuff that you don't know about, it's confusing to me. But to be fair, though, I've been living in quite a liberal bubble. So there are a lot of things where I just assume people know about them. But a diva cup is, it's a little soft plastic cup that you stick up in your hoo-ha. And then instead of wearing it, it goes in the way a tampon would go in. And then it just catches it. And then you dump it out. And then you use it again. Which a lot of people have found a lot of success with. If you know how to use it right, it's great. Honestly, I've never messed with it because I'm really clumsy, and so I just know that if I mess with it, I would have a real Mr. Bean meets Carrie situation just ruining bathrooms. You know what I'm saying? I'd be like, oh, let me go elegantly change my diva cup for my menses, and then I'd walk out like, I gotta take a half day because guess who slipped in her own period blood? It's me. Lainey. It's Lainey. That's me. Man, I'm really going all in on the images this time. So anyway, that's an option. Although I have not used it just because I'm super clumsy. That is the legitimate reason. But I know a ton of people who use it a bunch and have found a great deal of relief from it. So I definitely recommend checking that out. But what I took a chance on me, whatever, are Thinks. And the thing about Thinks is that you can wear them. And they're on your body. And thank the fucking Lord, because Jesus Christ, the older I get, the more I just want to free bleed. I cannot be walking around with stuff shoved up in my stuff. It's super annoying. But the biggest advantage of these are that they're generally almost totally leak proof, unless you left them on for like days. And that makes them fantastic for sleeping in because you don't have any leakage while you're sleeping. And so I have found them very useful when slumbering adjacent to a suitor, because then you don't have to worry about anything gross happening. You're like, I'm good. I'm locked in, feeling good. And a lot of people will use them in addition to also using like a tampon or something. So that way you just have extra security. But they feel really good, like underwear, but they do all this moisture wicking, and the amount that they're able to like absorb and pull away from your body is really incredible. And so the amount of comfort and relief I have found from these things is incredible because here's the thing that people usually say about pads or about, you know, I think about this too. They get this really disgusted look on their face and they're like, ugh, isn't that like wearing a diaper? Like, ugh, you just have to be sitting in it all day. That's the thing that people think. And it's hard to have an answer for that question because people are really disgusted by that. But then I was thinking about it yesterday and I realized, yeah, well, that's better than, you know, they're like, ugh, are you just sitting in all that stuff all day? Yeah, it's better than wadding it up, shoving it up in my puss and letting it stay there. I'd rather sit on it than have it inside me. It's sitting in me? That's grosser. You shouldn't have a dream catcher of uterine lining inside of your body when you're trying to type 60 words a minute because you've got a paper due for your boss who doesn't know that you're menstruating. And you know what? I want to menstruate every day. That's what I want to do. I'm going to do it every day as a political act. So I'm just telling you, listen, if you thought about trying these, 100% try them. If you haven't thought about trying them, 75% try them. You should. And people get grossed out. And I'm here to tell you, it's not gross. It's amazing. It's changed my life. I'm a new woman. And also, I can go anywhere now. I can go anywhere I want. want because nothing's going to happen. I just go out there, I walk around, I do my stuff, I strut my strut, do my little dance, and you know what happens? I'm a beautiful queen and everybody knows it. So give thanks, hallelujah, praise be, blessed are we, for we can use thanks. So that's the first thing that I'm thankful for. I took a couple more notes. Another thing I'm thankful for, chocolate. I have tried a new dark chocolate brand. Now I'm just reviewing shit, but I have to tell you, dark chocolate is keeping me alive, and I think it's good for you. So I eat it 3 times a day and nothing else, and I sit in my period underwear, and I watch Bridget Jones's Diary, and I write letters to my senator wearing a bunch of toe rings. You know what I'm talking about? That's what I'm talking about. 2018, ladies are doing it for themselves. All right, I love chocolate. Also giving thanks for stretchy pants, loving it. Maybe there's a theme here. I think it's pretty clear what the theme is. But let's move on. This is another thing I give thanks for, pens with wonderful ink flow. That is an obsession of mine. Also, duvet covers. I recently got one. It's amazing, except that sometimes I sweat because I get really hot and then I wake up and I smell, but then you can take a shower, which I didn't know if you know that you could do that, but you can. Also, quesadillas and hugging. Those are other two things that I'm happy and giving thanks for. I'm pretty happy. I'm pretty giving thanks for those things. And I will tell you this. I will tell you this because I'm sure you have issues with it too. But appreciating life, giving thanks for things in November, it's real difficult. It's kind of ironic that they put Thanksgiving in November. I mean, and in this case, we're really ignoring all the indigenous peoples that have been, you know, harmed by this stuff and just going along with it as a some sort of a cultural tradition. Ooh, but it was pretty bold to put Thanksgiving in November because it is hard as fuck to appreciate anything in November because it is dark all goddamn day long. It's 20 degrees. It's dark 20 hours of the day. Everybody's weird. And you know what? The trees are barren. And so, you know, we're living in some sort of like post-Halloween haunted house of a world. And, you know, and then they're like, you know what? Why don't you eat a squash and give thanks for what you do have? And it's like, what? My Aunt Becky, who won't shut the fuck up about Trump? Or are you talking about my cousin Lester, who doesn't understand what gender is? Lester's fun. He says that everybody's a man and there's no women. What if that was the gender confusion that we had? It's not about we, they, them kind of stuff. It's just he says everyone's a man and it's really confusing and I don't know how to talk to him about it. No, I don't have a cousin named Lester, but if I did, I would disagree with him. I promise you that. And even if I agreed with what he said, I would verbally disagree because I want to live up to my word because I am a broadcaster in the broadest sense of the term, in the way that I'm not, but I can say it because I know that it doesn't apply to me and it'll annoy people, but I could sort of be adjacent to it. Who knows what I am? Let's make a title for it. Let's see. Let's make a title for it. So let's see. We got to figure out how people are going to address me. So I'm going to start off with Queen. I'm going to see if that works. Queen, okay, talking, loud, yelling, one of those things. Queen, orator, ooh, that's what I'm running with. And remember, no internet in 2019. This is part of my platform. Okay, I am the queen orator of, man, I want to say excellence, but that's not right. I'm the queen orator of artistic expression in the Midwest. You know what I mean? I'm a poster child for self-deprecating white girl comedy, which is, how do I do a different kind? Maybe some week I should do a theme where all I do is a different brand of comedy. I don't know how I would do that. All I do is puns. Nope, I wouldn't do that because I don't want to. And I would never listen to that. So I would never make you listen to that. Oh, man. So wrapping up this rant here, let me tell you what. This month, this week, this episode, I am thinking about what I'm thankful for. I told you a couple of those things, but you know what? One of the things I'm thankful for is you. I love the way that your eyes look when you're listening to my show, and I think your hair looks amazing when you're listening to my show, and I also think you have an excellent sense of style when you're listening to my show, but I saw you one day when you were not listening to my show, and you looked like fucking shit, so I would recommend that you definitely should keep listening, because clearly, I'm steering you on the right path here. Baby, Stacey and Clinton, what not to wear, what not to care. Okay, that didn't make sense. But it is, you know, sometimes the words get in front of what I'm saying. So you know what? Think about what you're thankful for today. Macaroni and cheese, my mom, and also Cute babies. I've been seeing a lot of cute babies with big ass heads. And let me tell you what, they're cuter when they're not white, because the white ones sometimes have a funny shaped head. And because they're so pale, they're translucent. You can see the veins through their head, so they look like an alien. So I'm just saying, sometimes the white ones have problems because they're too vulnerable and they look like a vampire already got to them. And that's just how I look as well. So give thanks, everybody. We're blessed. We have everything we could need and also hugs. Yes, it's Thanksgiving and we're ignoring the inherent politically incorrect situation that this holiday represents. So happy Thanksgiving, narcs. Everybody, this week, it's Lainey, that's me, is brought to you by Riverdance. And let me tell you something. I have watched Riverdance for years. I used to own their entire catalog. I was going to say discography, but they were on VHS tape. So I remember, I have a lot of memories of, first of all, man, they can jump real high. Second of all, they keep their arms real in there. I think probably their armpits smell and they're trying to lock it in there because they don't want to offend anybody when they're flirting at the party. But there was also a lady with an electric violin, electric fiddle. I don't know, but she would always shred that motherfucker. And I can tell you what, she's probably weird at sex. So, but I can tell you, I've been a lifelong fan of Riverdance. And so I'm pretty excited about this sponsor. This week, It's Lainey is brought to you by Riverdance. Full of wooden shoes, Celtic music, and curly wigs, Riverdance is the only thing big enough and loud enough for you to enjoy with your grandmother even after she's taken her hearing aids out. Now, I can tell you from personal experience that Riverdance offers an incredible live show with a tour de force performance from the new and improved 2018 cast. Now touring their revised production entitled Two Left Toes, Trinity Russell heads an all-star cast featuring Tucker Sinclair, Babs Ruley, Percival Wiener, Lillian Bosomly, and David Hasselhoff. Exciting. Bring a cheeseburger. Riverdance 2018 is back, and it's better than ever. Bigger, louder, and sexier, with 32 clogging girls in bikinis. With every ticket purchase, you receive 2 free dinner rolls, 1 lottery ticket, and a velvet turtleneck. Yas! Make it a New Year's Eve package or celebrate a bachelorette party with raucous foot noise, thunderous fiddle, and deafening costumes. In an effort to step into the 21st century, Riverdance has updated its 2018 program to appeal to young, hot singles as well. The new show includes a bunch of different cool stuff, including a cocktail of highly experimental medications, a high-class dress code, cocktails like absinthe and Coke and rum and absinthe. So there's a variety. Singles mixers, including pre-written conversation topics, pre-qualified hotness screenings, and STD screenings upon entry and exit for anybody a 6 or higher. So if you're cute, you could check out your junk. To score tickets to this percussive paradise parade, log on to Riverdance's updated website, www.riverdance.com. That's www.riverdance.com, of course, and enter offer code TAPTHAT. That's TAPTHAT to purchase 3 tickets for a discounted Devil's Threesome with Michael Flatley. All right, here we are with the motherfucking question for the week. And this week, it is short, it is sweet, it is simple, and it is soulful. This is the question this week. It is but 5 simple words. Star Wars or Star Trek? Question mark. Let me tell you something. Star Trek, end of conversation. All right, let me tell you the things that I know. Okay, I'll preface this by saying that I am a gigantic Star Trek fan. I love Star Trek. I do know a good amount about the universe. I would say, well, let's see. Me and Aaron just discussed this for a long time. What level of dorkitude would you put that at? Like
4 out of 5.
4 out of 5? Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, I thought I'm pretty deep in the canon of Star Trek. And usually when the things that you mention to me, I'd be like, yes, that's right. That is its name. So shout out to Dr. Noonien Sung for being my daddy. Okay. All right. Well, let's get talking about it. I mean, I'm going to talk about what I love about Star Trek, but let's talk about Star Trek versus Star Wars. Now, let's see. Star Trek was, oh man, we should have looked at when these came out because I remember, oh God, I had a bunch of information about the just in my life. But okay, here's the thing. Star Trek versus Star Wars. Star Wars, okay. They're on a dust planet a bunch, which is super lame. They're all like depressed and weird. They're fighting a Star War. Okay, I don't know why I'm being negative. That's not really an issue. That shit happens in Star Trek. I don't know what my problem is. What is my issue with the vibe? I just love Star Trek a lot. I retain that. And Star Wars, I don't remember all the shit that happens. Jar Jar Binks is there. The Jabba the Hutt is there sometimes. Queen Amidala is up in there. That was Natalie Portman, right? Did they have two different ones, like Keira Knightley and Natalie Portman? Was that what happened? Nope. Who knows? Nope, that didn't happen. Ewoks, they look like little teddy bears. Emperor Palpatine. And you're my son, dude. So that's what I retain. I don't know. I remember the last Star Wars movie I saw, which was the last one that was released, I think. And I saw it with the guy I was dating at the time, and him. We went with them, friends, and him and one of the gals we were with both cried. And I was sitting there the whole time like, this is the most boring shit I have ever seen. And granted, I was pretty gin and tonic drunk because we went to the fancy theater. So I don't know if that had something to do with it. But the emotional stakes were not there for me. And I think the biggest reason why I love Star Trek is because I did watch it in my youth. I do love sci-fi. It does have a... God, what do you call that? It does have a nostalgia for me. It does, and it definitely has a comfort. And the thing that is, you know, the thing that's super different between Star Trek and Star Wars, and the reason why it is... It's not exactly an equal comparison. I wouldn't say it's apples and oranges, but it might be, you know, oranges and tangerines or something. Because Star Wars are films, right? Star Wars is a film franchise. And so this broad story arc is built over several films, you know, and then there's different dorks who tell you which order you're supposed to watch the films in. I feel like I've learned a lot of stuff about Star Wars and I just didn't retain any of it because, you know, the early movies, though, I remember watching those and they're exciting. They're fun. Like, I would rewatch them. Maybe I'd retain more details about them. But Star Wars is a film franchise. Star Trek is initially it's a TV show. So the part of the thing about Star Trek is part of the reason why I love it is that I watch it a lot when I'm not feeling good, when I'm stressed out, when I'm depressed. And a lot of the times we watch TV shows because they give us a natural sense of conclusion. They give us a sense of comfort. We know where we're coming from. We know where we're going. They take us somewhere and then they bring us back to where we know we're going. So even when Jean-Luc Picard is in peril, I still know that Jean-Luc Picard, he's a good fucking dude. I love that guy. You know what I'm talking about? And I still know that at the end of the day, the ship's going to be there, which, you know, maybe isn't true across the board. Sometimes it explodes and shit, but it's a different experience to watch it because they are these small episodes. And I think one of the things that I love about Star Trek is that it's like, you know, you're with them on this little mission. So it's like you have these little bursts of imagination. So each episode is like, let's imagine what this planet is like. Let's imagine if this parasite locked onto our brains and projected a different reality. Let's imagine what kind of technology they would have in the future. And that's something that's super interesting watching Star Trek now, because things that were supposed to be projections of the future. So, for example, in what, 90, 95, when they're making Voyager and TNG, what year was that? Like late 80s, early 90s? Just late 80s. Yeah. So late 80s, early to mid 90s, when they're making TNG and Voyager, you can see, I mean, the experience for me watching it as an adult is very different than watching it as a child, of course, because now a bunch of the technology that they had on the show, which at the time in 1995 didn't exist, it was just a piece of cardboard with a bunch of pretend yellow buttons on it, and they would look down at it and go, beep, boop, beep, boop, beep. I own that now. I own that shit. I have a Kindle Fire. Like, that's what they're using. So it's hilarious now sometimes in hindsight to watch these episodes and to look at it and to see them carrying around all these little tablets. And at the time, it was this outrageous, crazy thing. You know, they have medical scanners. They have, they have their transporter. They have all this stuff. And a lot of the stuff in the show, at least, you know, on the ship, we got that, you know? You could voice command a computer. You can carry, I mean, the little tablets are a big one. It's so, so funny to see them walking around with them because they look real fake, but they also look exactly like the size of a little tablet you would carry. And I'm like, I have that. You know, I can relate to you. This is super chill. You were right, Star Trek. You got my back. Oh, man. I don't know a ton about Star Wars. I will say what Aaron and I talked about. I will say Han Solo, complete nagger. He's really, oh, man, maybe you cut that because that sounds weird when I say it like that. He really negs a lot. Negativity. He negs. He's always just like, I'm the best and you suck and now make out with me and suck my dick, Carrie Fisher. And man, she's cool. She's just a cool broad. I think it's hard for me to think of Carrie Fisher as Princess Leia without thinking about her career because she was just like the coolest gal. And even when she was like a mess, I just thought she was so cool, you know? And in When Harry Met Sally, which is one of my favorite movies. I watch it every year at New Year's. It's a fantastic movie. She always does that. And she does that, the line that applies most to my life where, you know, she's the friend who is dating a married guy. And that's not what applies to my life. But she, her friend, it's when she's dating a guy who's kind of a slouch and her friends are saying, you know, he's never going to come through for you. And she, every single time she goes, you're right. You're right. I know you're right. And I say that all the time in life. And Carrie Fisher had a short haircut. So she's real fancy. Anyway, love Carrie Fisher. Sassy, crazy lady, and that's cool. I mean, Star Wars, definitely in terms of, set design, special effects, creating a visual universe, I would say it's superior in that sense. It's continued into now. I mean, definitely large screen appeal in the visual category. You see these entire forests. You see these gigantic, what are those big white robots called that walk on the stuff? The something walkers? What are those? AT-ATs? Is that what they are? Okay. All right. The walking doodads. You see them smashing through the forest. That's pretty dope. You see them swinging on ropes across shit. That's awesome. You get a huge wide shot. You get like all these spaceships. So like visually, it's super exciting to watch this stuff. You get an entire film length story arc. So you are you're in suspense, you're worried about the characters, which in Star Trek, because it's an episodic format, you're not going to have that much suspense. You're going to have a much shorter, A plot, B plot. And the story arcs aren't generally super, I don't want to say confusing, but it's more lighthearted, I would say. Star Trek is a little bit more lighthearted. And I guess it depends on which one you're watching. But to me, it's very comforting and very nostalgic. So maybe that's part of it. But you also really get to know the characters on a day-to-day basis that makes you feel like you are friends with them. And that is what I love about Star Trek. Because in Star Wars, you're watching, you're watching this epic battle between, I don't know, kingdoms, forces, what do you call it? Powers, whatever. And there's a lot of, there's some kind of mysticism to it with Yoda and all that. And granted, the stuff I say about Star Wars is not going to be super correct. But you're watching this big cinematic story with a large story arc with a protagonist and with an antagonist. With Star Trek, you're friends with these people. You're on the crew. So that's what I love about Star Trek. With Star Trek, you're on the ship with them. So every time they meet a new species, you meet a new species. Every time they make a new friend, you make a new friend. Every time somebody betrays them, they betray you. And that's what's really, comforting, but also exciting about it. And it does kind of engage your thought and make you think a little bit about, the way that we approach, I don't know. It's interesting because, of course, these things, science fiction usually deals with projecting into the future as well as criticizing the present. And there are some really interesting things specifically in Star Trek. One of the things I find very compelling is the way that they treat gender across the Star Trek universe is really interesting to me. And I can't speak as much to the Star Wars universe. There's a lot of queens and princesses and shit, right? Do they have any, like, in Star Wars, are there any, like, tough lady characters? There probably are, right? Okay, so here's what I'll say. In Star Trek, I find the way that they treat gender really interesting because The number one thing that snags my attention is that I grew up watching, like I said, TNG and Voyager. Voyager has a female captain, Captain Janeway, and she, and this is when I noticed that they use sir as a gender neutral term to address their superiors. She hates it and she prefers to go by captain, which honestly is fucking baller. But she doesn't go by ma'am. And so that is something that I love. And it was just casual. And, you know, it's something that's just consistent. And it's something that I see. And I'm like, hell yeah. If I was in, especially if I was high ranking, and especially if I was in some sort of like military thing, I don't know what you call it, but it's Starfleet, right? I'm in Starfleet. I've made my way through the ranks. Of course, I don't want anybody calling me fucking ma'am. That's some bullshit. I want them calling me goddamn captain. I want them calling me sir. Fuck, I want people calling me sir right now. I like it. I think it denotes respect, and I think that I deserve respect, and I exude excellence. But that's one of the things I love about it, and that's reflected in the way that they address the ensigns. The Mr. is also a gender-neutral term, so it basically focuses more on the work they're doing as opposed to their gender. And so, well, you definitely can see them treat gender very differently across characters, whether they're sexualizing a character or bringing in their backstory to kind of humanize them. I did think that little tidbit, it's always been cool for me to see. I've always loved that about Star Trek. In talking about gender, I haven't finished DS9 yet because I always start watching Star Trek and I get through most of it. And then once I get to the end, I kind of start tapering off because I don't want it to be over. But I've rewatched, you know, a lot. Of the episodes of definitely The Next Generation, as well as Voyager. And then I got into Deep Space Nine about a year ago or something. And so in terms of captains, the three captains we got here, Picard, Janeway, and Sisko. Picard, Jean-Luc Picard, played by Patrick Stewart. Excellent. Fantastic. I don't know how you can beat that. He's marvelous in this role. And you know what I think makes him so good in this role is his, like, Shakespearean training. What do you call that? His classical acting training. He's awesome because he's, you know, he takes it seriously. He seems like a man who is conflicted. It's the age old tale of, you know, he's always in a war or some shit. And you can see him bearing the gravity. You can see him bearing the weight of that responsibility. And that's something that's really compelling about his character because he does, I think it's so well acted that you do feel like, you know, not only is he an extremely likable character, but you also really feel a lot for him and you have these hopes and dreams for what he's going to do with his life because you learn all these different things about him. And also Patrick Stewart, it's hard not to love him. Captain Janeway, I did see some interesting stuff. I saw an interview with her about how essentially playing that captain ruined her family life and she basically like didn't really see her kids. I found that pretty fascinating because in the process of portraying a strong businesswoman or a strong working, what do you call it? A strong professional, I don't know, military woman, whatever. In the process of portraying this leader of men, if you will, she also according to her own words, kind of abandoned her family and didn't build relationships with her children. So that's a really fascinating dichotomy to me of her creating this image of female power and strength while also, you know, experiencing that kind of, weakness and vulnerability. And I will say that there are a lot of more complex factors on the way that, women working at all, but especially women working in entertainment, it's, you know, you pretty much have to choose. Up until the point when we had people like Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, you couldn't have a family because now Tina Fey could write herself pregnant into her own show. She could cover it up. But other shows, they're not going to take that. They're not going to give you the maternity leave. They're not going to work the show's schedule around you. So, you know, you don't really have time for that unless you're super famous and you can pull some strings. So that's a bigger issue. But Captain Janeway, always killing it. And then Captain Sisko, also interesting. He's probably not the first black captain, but he's the first one that, you know, we ride along on the ship with him. He's also a single father and he's raising his son on the ship. That's interesting. He's also obsessed with baseball, which is the lamest thing possible. But I think he also has a Shakespearean acting background, if I'm not mistaken. I think that I looked him up at one point. I think he's a little bit over the top, but, you know, I mean, who's going to measure up to Stewart? It would be hard. Patrick Stewart, just always killing it. I was talking about this because I'm thinking about Deep Space Nine. I'm talking about kind of the gender roles in Star Trek. Also, you know, in Star Wars, Princess Leia wore not a lot of clothing. So that's what I know about that. I forgot what all the queens and stuff did. This is not a very well-balanced perspective, but it's because I am ravenous for information about Star Trek. It's because I fucking love Star Trek. So I've got a pretty clear answer here, which is Star Trek. The tangerines, baby, the tangerines. So on Deep Space Nine, we see a little bit more, you know, kind of interesting stuff. Well, here, let me say this. So we see gender represented a lot of different ways in Star Trek. We see on Captain Janeway's ship, we hear all that kind of gender neutral addresses, that kind of thing. On Picard's ship, they have a female doctor, which is dope. I will say they have, you know, on Janeway's ship as well, we've got B'Elanna Torres, who's in engineering. So, you know, we have women who are working in the sciences, which is interesting. Because we don't always. And we have women who are working in the sciences who are not sexualized, who are not there to hand them a wrench. You know what I mean? They're there to do the job, and it's their job, and they're the best at it, and everybody knows it. And then on Sisko's ship, we have some female command, and we also have some really interesting stuff that we see happening with the Ferengi. So if you haven't, I am obviously super nerding out about this, but if you have not watched Star Trek, the Ferengi, you may know what I'm talking about. They're the dudes with the gigantic ears. They have a bunch of weird makeup on. They've got like a ridge on their forehead, but they've got gigantic, gigantic ears. It looks like an elephant ear, the pastry. That's what it looks like. they also have a weird sexual arousal thing with their ears. So that's strange. Before even addressing I'm just going to talk about the gender part of this, which is that on Deep Space Nine, the bartender in the commissary or whatever it's called, he is Ferengi. And so previously, Ferengis have only been portrayed in my experience of watching Star Trek, and I'm sure there are things that I miss, but they've only been portrayed essentially as these really annoying, really backstabby, really sneaky, really underhanded kind of dealers who come in trying to make a quick buck. They'll sell anybody down the river to close a deal, and they, you know, will sell each other out. So they're really sniveling, vulnerable, kind of loathsome creatures, and they're annoying. They're not villains, they're annoyances, they're pests. And so not only are they, not only are they not held in high esteem, but they're not even taken seriously because they're, you know, they come up and they try to barter with you and they try to trick you and people brush them off and they're like, oh my God. But having a main character that's Ferengi on Deep Space Nine, we see a lot more about the character development with the character as well as the cultural background, which is interesting because when they build up this backstory, we go back to Ferengi. I think that's their planet's called Ferengi, right? Ferenginar. That's right. Ferenginar. And what is their currency called? Oh, gold press latinum. That's everywhere because you can't replicate it. I thought they had another thing that was called Ferengi something. Okay. But their world is really fascinating because they live in this culture where their number one moral, their number one closely held belief, their religion is just money. Gold press latinum, if you will, which they always say lisping through their teeth because they have to wear some kind of strange teeth. Those poor actors, by the way, really had to get in there. Oh my God. They were probably sweating balls up in that weird headdress, you know, just wearing gigantic ears. Couldn't hear anything. They've got huge fake ears on their head, but every time somebody tries to yell at them, Stuart, what? Like, I don't know. I can't hear you. Oh, man. But so we go back to Ferenginar, obviously. You know Ferenginar. That's where you go if you're down to have a good time. If you want to get a little crazy, go to Ferenginar. No, I'm kidding. That's not where you go. I think it rains a lot there. It does. It rains a lot there. God, I'm really showing my nerd colors. Just FYI, it rains a lot on Ferenginar. So this is a good tidbit from this episode. If you wanna freak somebody out, turn to whoever's next to you right now or an hour from now and look at them and say, "Man, it really rains a lot on Ferenginar." And then do the laugh and just see how they react. And if I was sitting next to you, I'd say, well, you want to trade some gold press latinum about it? What are we going to do? You know, that's all we got. But so it's interesting to see this planet because it deals specifically with gender. And of course, on a lot of the different planets, we see the way they treat their, you know, quote unquote, their women or their females or whatever it is. You know, we hear that a lot because we're visiting all these different cultures. So some of them are more futuristic. They're genderless beings. Some of them are in the past. They're like caveman-like things, or they're not as advanced as us, whatever the case may be. But on Ferenginar, the women are not allowed to wear clothes because they are below the men. They're not allowed to handle the money. They're supposed to stay in the house unclothed, humble, and essentially be, you know, just walked all over. They're just there to be there, I guess. Do they cook, I think? I'm not really sure what they do, but it's interesting because in Deep Space Nine, what is the Ferengi's name on Deep Space?
Quark and his brother Rom.
Quark and Rom, that's right. So Quark is the Ferengi on Deep Space Nine. Quark goes home to Ferenginar, and we see his house, we see the planet, we see the way that their economy is structured, which is kind of confusing, and all their relationships are structured. But we also see his mom, and his mom becomes a really badass character because she's just been living there in her house. His dad is dead. She's just been living there, kind of kicking it. And as the series goes on, she says, hey, I want to wear clothing because I'm slaying it. And she starts wearing this Phyllis Diller ass sequined muumuu. She's got garb, baby. Yeah. Yeah. Aaron's nodding a bunch. So I think I pretty much hit that nail on the head. And to be honest, I'd wear her whole wardrobe. Let's get it. You know, she's got like some weird scarves or whatever, but it's a lot of like color. It's very, so she doesn't just start wearing clothes. She starts wearing costumes. You know what I'm saying? And that's a woman I can get behind. What's up? But so she starts wearing clothes, and they have a bunch of episodes dealing with what a revolutionary act this is and how she has to be, and how she has to be disciplined, and how she's bringing dishonor to the family, and how she's cast out from the community. But she has been running the household's monetary, she's been running the household's finances for years because his father wasn't good at it and she was good at it. And the women aren't allowed to touch the money. They're not even allowed to wear clothes. You know what I mean? Their nipples are freezing. They don't have time to count latinum. They're busy. But so she becomes this really revolutionary character who's wearing clothing. She's out in the world. She starts getting out there, arms dealing, shit like that. And she's you know, and she has a lot of conflicts with Quark, her son, about it because he's, you know, telling her, you can't do this. We're going to be excommunicated, essentially. And she's like, shut the fuck up. I made all this money. Where you think this money came from? Your daddy couldn't do it. I did it for myself. I'm going to do it now because you know what? If the only thing we value is profit, then I'm going to get that fucking profit. I don't see why I shouldn't be allowed to wear clothes while I'm doing it. I'm going to go hang out with my boyfriend now. Suck it, Quark. And that's really interesting in terms, they kind of get into that on terms of gender. But let me tell you this. I'm going to tell you, oh man, in terms of dreamboats on Star Trek, let me tell you what. And let me tell you what. Okay, I did a marry, fuck, kill, and this is how I did it. I just I didn't give myself the people first. I gave myself the prompt. So I'll just let you know. Marry, fuck, kill, Chakotay, Data, Riker. Oh my God, are you kidding me? All right, just a short backstory on this. Chakotay, first officer of Janeway. They have a great relationship, get along well. He respects her as a commander even before he respects her as a woman. It doesn't seem to ever be an issue for them. He's also very soulful. He has Native American heritage, and he processes things through his spirit speaking to him and shit. So basically he's very, what would I say? He's a little bit more, he's less akin to military personnel and closer to an anthropologist. But anyway, he's like super soulful and he's really hot. And I have Googled the actor since then, and oh baby, he held up over time. So check out Chakotay because he's got a face tattoo, and man, is that dude killing it. But he's also just really respectful and calm. So he's got like a dope vibe, and you're like, man, he fucks good. So then moving on to, man, you know what? Yeah, I chose Mary because damn, you could live with that man. He knows how to cook, all that shit. Like he's, oh my God. What a man, what a man, what a man, what a man, a good man. That's Chakotay. Data, he is an android. He is on Star Trek The Next Generation. If you've probably seen him, he's the dude who's wearing completely white makeup, like face powder. He's an android. You might have seen his chest open up in like pistons or whatever. I say fuck because first of all, he is programmed for a multitude of pleasure making. He has some phrase he says, but he's programmed to be fully functional is what he says. Fully functional. And for some reason, I've always had the hots for that character. And it's not the actor Brent Spiner. It is the character of Data. And I would say one of the reasons is because the character is super compelling and it's highly humanized because Data is constantly curious. He's constantly growing. He's constantly learning. And he's vulnerable in a way that's really likable. So he has, you know, while he doesn't technically have emotions, quote unquote, he is going through a process of discovery that makes him feel different than others. He's an outcast a little bit, and not in the sense that they treat him poorly, but in the sense that he doesn't fit in. He doesn't fit in. And I think that's one of the things that's most attractive about his character is that he is trying to figure out where he fits in. That's his whole thing. You know, he gets a cat because he's trying to understand what having a pet means. He starts painting because he's trying to mimic the masters because he's trying to see if he can emote that way. You know, so that's what's really compelling about him. And for some reason, I'm just always down to fuck Data. I don't know what it is. Now let's move on to Kill. Riker. William Riker. Oh my God, I fucking hate that guy. I fucking hate that guy. He takes advantage of Deanna Troi's emotional vulnerability and support, even though she's chill with it. She is the chillest lady I have ever met, and I haven't met her, but they also made her make up a fake accent, so that was interesting. Anyway, Lieutenant Riker, goddamn, that guy sucks. He just goes onto a bunch of planets and fucks everybody. And he's the biggest fuckboy. He's a frat douche. He's cocky. He's not as handsome as he thinks he is. And he's so annoying. He's not humble. He doesn't have any, I don't know what good qualities he has. It's just that he's like in the military and he feels like he's got a big dick about it, you know? But he doesn't have any cool skills. Like, you can't fly or anything, bro. I guess you can fly the plane, so that's dope. It's like, you know, it's like if you have a cool car and you get girls that way. Like, I don't understand how that happens. Because, like, why would I give a shit about your car? I could take the bus. You know? I'm not going to fuck your car. Like, man, that's important. All right. I guess when it comes down to it, the question is, where would you rather be? What universe would you rather live in? And let me tell you, I mean, obviously I've chosen Star Trek at this point, and Star Trek gives us a bunch of different universes. So you can choose. Do you want to live with a bunch of particles and be an ethereal being? Well, they may not let you, but you could go to another planet called Risa that is a pleasure planet where all they do is drink nectar and fuck all day. So, I mean, that's not too bad. They have climate control too. So if it starts raining, they know something's broken because usually it's just nice out and they all go to the beach in their weird ass future bikinis. Oh man. The answer to the question, Star Wars or Star Trek, is a resounding Trek, baby, Trek. And I gotta tell you, it is one of my favorite things. I am hardcore nerd about it, and man, I'm gonna be revisiting it. If you want to talk to me more about Star Trek, I am happy to answer your questions. Do it in email or something. Send it to me on Instagram, because obviously I can't keep talking about it here because I got into some really specific minutiae about, oh my God. I mean, I could talk for a while just about Klingon rituals, but that would be inappropriate. Although very interesting, because the gender roles that the Klingons have are admirable. The women are very strong warriors and it's incredible. So anyway, Worf's killing it too. He loves a strong lady. God damn. Get it, Worf. Get it. Also, the highest number of haircuts on Star Trek. Jesus Christ, get a new barber, man. You know what I'm talking about? I know your head's a funny shape, but somebody's got to line it up. Those edges are looking rough, baby. So let me tell you, Star Trek for life, motherfucker. Star Trek for life. And that is the motherfucking question. Woo woo! Yeah! Oh my gosh. If you want to reach me, you can reach me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Lainey Leonards, which is my name. If you want to see my shows, you can see me Thursday the 15th at the Love Below Comedy Show, Friday the 16th at Backroom Comedy, Saturday the 17th at 11 p.m. at the Comedy Bar, where I'm hosting. I do have free tickets to all of those, so email me if you want tickets. And in related news, if you want to stay up to date on my live shows and get free tickets, sign up for my mailing list. You just have to email Lainey at LaineyLeonards.com, and I'll hook you up with weekly comedy tickets in Chicago. A couple shout-outs. I did get a couple reviews. The best thing you can do for this show, please, 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 I beg of you. I would really appreciate it if you rate us 5 stars and give me a review. If you give me a review, this is what I'm doing this week. I've been knitting a ton, and I have a bunch of scarves that I don't know what to do with, but they look really dope and I like doing it. So the first 5 people who leave a written review on this podcast, I'm sending them a scarf. So, you know, in keeping with that, let me just shout it out. B. Casper gave us a great review, and she noted in the review, I want a scarf. And she was number one. She was the first person. So guess what? B. Casper, you get a scarf. Thank you for listening. Yes, I feel like Oprah, but with I made it and I didn't buy it. Yeah, you get a scarf. All right. Special thanks as well to Stan Stroh and Sentra Godfrey for leaving me a review. I will let you know, for the sake of visibility, that is my friend and also my mother. So if you want to check out my mother's review of the show, go ahead and check us out on iTunes. Thank you, Sentra. My mom is, just keep in mind, my mom is listening to all of this. So if you feel uncomfortable, just get over it. Because Cindy's out there and she's really being a real trooper. You know what I mean? So soldier on, motherfuckers. Soldier on. That's it. See you next week. I'm Lainey. Woo-hoo!